As you begin turning to the 8th chapter of the book of Proverbs, I pray that you will follow along with us today, if at all possible. There is much to be learned from this passage of Scripture. I said this morning, not to any of you, but to the Lord, that I was outmatched against this message, that it's beyond fully my comprehension. And to be quite honest with you, the subject matter is so broad that I'm not sure that a 30-minute or 45-minute or 2-hour message could really encompass everything that is to be said about this. And I'll preach just as long as the Lord will allow me to, and I'll try to do my best not to bore you or worry your patience, but stay focused on the things that the Lord has focused our hearts upon today. I want us to look at Proverbs chapter 8 and have us bring to the understanding and to the forefront of our mind what the subject matter is of this passage of Scripture, and that is wisdom. Now, I've been thinking a lot about wisdom lately, and I think that as the under-shepherd of this church, there's good reason that God has placed such a burden on my heart for wisdom, not only because I feel like we as a congregation are facing things that require wisdom from God. I think even in my own life, it has become self-evident that I have things going on in my life that I need God's wisdom to help me with. And I think it's very important that we as a church understand not only what wisdom is, but understanding where we can find wisdom, understanding the benefit of wisdom and the danger of not having wisdom, and understanding in essence how wisdom works in conjunction with the lives of every believer. Because what I want us to understand is wisdom is not an assertion of your mouth. It's not even an assertion of your mind. It is truly something that is given wholly and totally from God. So we need to be mindful to understand what wisdom is. What we find here in this 8th chapter, I want you to know up front that there is beautiful and amazing things throughout this 8th chapter of the book of Proverbs, but for the sake of time, I'm going to try to limit our thoughts just to the first 11 verses today. I want to go ahead and read them for you. It says this, starting in verse 1, "Doth not wisdom cry, and understanding put forth her voice? She standeth in the top of the high places, by the way, in the places of the paths. She cries at the gate and at the entry of the city and the coming in at the doors. Unto you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of men. O ye simple, understand wisdom, and ye fools, be ye of an understanding heart. Hear, for I will speak of excellent things, and the opening of my lips shall bring forth right things. For my mouth shall speak truth, and wickedness is an abomination of my lips. All of the words of my mouth are righteousness. There is nothing froward or perverse in them. They are all plain to him that understandeth, and right to them that find knowledge. Receive my instruction, and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it." Now, with the mistakes we might have made, that's reading the first 11 verses of the 8th chapter of the book of Proverbs. What I want us to understand here is that wisdom is being referred to, but it's being personified as a woman. Now, that is in relationship to the 7th chapter of Proverbs. What I want you to know is that Proverbs is a book that's written by King Solomon, one of the wisest men, if not the wisest man, that has ever walked the face of this earth. He's writing to the people of Israel. He's writing to God's chosen people. This is not a message or a scripture that's intended to go to people that are unlearned or outside of the household of faith. He's talking to his children. And in that, he's given an example through personification of wisdom being this woman. And it talks about then that wisdom has these attributes, and wisdom looks like this. And this is where you can find wisdom. And this is the desire and the intent of wisdom. But what I want to focus on first and foremost is not only do we have a need for wisdom, we should have a desire for wisdom. And what this scripture says, Solomon is saying to us, there is nothing more valuable in this walk of life than the wisdom that only God can give. There's nothing more important. He says there in that portion of Scripture, in that 11th verse, he's saying them, That wisdom that comes from God is more precious than rubies. Now, we don't say that word very much. We don't see rubies in your local Zales or Jared, but I want you to know he's making a reference to the most precious, the most expensive, the most valuable thing he could think of in this walk of life. And he's saying anything like this, the greatest thing you could put value on in this walk of life, it cannot be compared to wisdom that comes from God. They're not even in the same ballpark. You can't even relate them to one another. Brothers and sisters, I want you to know, if King Solomon, one of the wisest, again, if not the wisest man that's ever walked the face of this earth, says that wisdom of God is the most precious thing, that it's the most valuable thing, I would say as a church, we would want to seek after those things, that we would want to be a partaker of this. If it's that important, if it's that valuable, then we need it in our lives, and we need it in this church. So I want us to focus on wisdom this morning. Now, what is wisdom? Now, I'm going to try to allocate this the best way I can. And I told you I'm outmatched by the message. I can't do all things, and there's no way I could bring it to your heart the way that God has brought it to me. But I pray that in my failures, the Holy Spirit would make up the gap. But what he is saying here, using the word wisdom, that's defined. And I would like to draw your attention to a definition that is brought from the American Dictionary of the English Language. It was published by Noah Webster in 1828. He says then that wisdom is this: the correct use or exercise of knowledge, the choice of laudable ends. I want you to know it's bad when you read the dictionary and you have to go look up other words in the definition. Listen, I'm not all that smart, so I didn't know what laudable was. But it says that wisdom is the knowledge of right things and the pursuance or the getting to of laudable ends. Well, the word laudable means praiseable. What wisdom is not only having knowledge that only comes from God, but implementing it and exercising it in your life that would get you to a desired, God-desired end. To laudable ends. He goes on to say then, the best means to accomplish them is found through wisdom. If wisdom is a faculty of the mind, it is the faculty of discerning or judging what is just, what is most proper, what is righteous, what is perfect, and what is useful. If it is believed to be viewed as an acquirement or an acquisition of the mind, or an acquisition, it is the knowledge and the use of what is best, just, and proper, and most conducive to the prosperity of the Lord and His will. In theology, again still coming from the book, said wisdom is true godliness, piety, the knowledge and the fear of God, sincere and uniform obedience to His commands. This is wisdom that comes from God alone. My favorite definition that he uses is just a phrase. He says sincere and uniform obedience to the commands of God. If you want to know what wisdom is, it's about not only knowing what is right, about knowing what is perfect, about knowing the proper decision, about knowing the right answer, but it's putting it into action. I want you to know that wisdom, true wisdom, only comes from God. It's not to be compared to earthly wisdom, which I like to connotate as just experience. How many times people say when you're going through a struggle, and we've already said that there's many in our church today that are going through hard times, that they're facing difficulties, that there's things in their lives that they can't understand or connotate what God is doing. And in those times, oftentimes people seek other individuals for help, for counsel, for leadership, and for good wisdom. And unfortunately, our wisdom that comes from this flesh falls so short in comparison to the wisdom of God. Because what we like to use when we're trying to give wisdom to somebody is experience. And I want you to know, church, let it be said here today and understand this vital truth, that experience and wisdom are not the same thing. All of us have experience. If you've lived longer than 5 minutes, you've been through things and you've gone through things that you think might be able to help other people. And I'm not saying that's impossible, but the best answer you can get comes from God. And so we like to give our experience to people. We like to say, well, you know, I went through what you're going through. I know what you're going through. I've seen this before. I've seen a situation similar. So here's what I would tell you to do. Here's what's wrong with experience is that it oftentimes gives you options. Does it not? Look, at any time you've sought wisdom from somebody else, almost always it has options. Well, you're going through some type of hardship. You're struggling in some way. And here's what I'd say you can do. Either one, you can do this, or two, you can do this. How many times have you sought wisdom from somebody and they say, well, Well, if I were you, I'd either stay far away from it or I'd do this. They give you options. They're saying, well, you could do this or you could do that. You know how that differs from wisdom? Because wisdom doesn't give you options. It only gives you the right answer. And that's what we want, is it not? I've heard so many people say, and I've had it in conversation privately with people of this church, saying, well, if we're going to error, I'd like to error here. And I understand and I respect where that's coming from. But in my heart, I'd rather not error at all. I'd rather get it right. And the only way we can be right is to have wisdom from God. I don't want to error and make decent decisions and do things that are kind of right. I want to be completely and totally right, and that can only be if I gain wisdom from God. So what is wisdom then? Well, wisdom is something that comes from God. We talked about how it's not only knowing what's right, but it's putting it into action. I heard a preacher say this one time, and it has stuck with me throughout the ages of time, and I imagine it will to my death. He told me when I was a young man that life is like going through a room and all the lights are turned off. He said there's stumbling blocks, there's furniture, there are things in your way, there are things that can hurt you. There's a path that is right to God, but in order to find that path, you need His wisdom. You need His direction and His understanding. And this preacher went on to say, Brother Andrew, having wisdom from God is like you're in this dark room. You're stubbing your toe on every other thing. You're tripping and fumbling over yourself trying to find your own way. And when you finally seek wisdom from God, God just comes in and turns on the light. Have you ever been in a dark room and thought you saw something? Then somebody turns on the light and it was not what you thought. I've been there many times, especially as a young child. I can remember when I was a young man, I saw all manner of things in my bedroom. Monsters and boogeymen and all these kinds of things. I would see shadows and things and I was convinced that they were one thing. I'd cry out to my parents and they'd come turn on the light and it was nothing what I thought it was. Brothers and sisters, in your life, you may think you know the path. You may think you see the stumbling blocks. You may think you know the temptations, but things are not always what they appear. You don't know the way by yourself. You can't find the right path. You can't make the right decisions unless God gives it to you. You are unable to do it. I love that picture of how many times I've sat in my life, even as often as this week, not knowing why God's doing what He's doing, not understanding the path, stubbing my toe here and there, tripping and fumbling all over things. And then I remember, all you got to do is ask God to turn on the light. Listen, what wisdom is God giving you understanding and opening up your eyes that you may see things from His point of view and His perspective. I want you to know, when you seek God in that way and you live your life in that way, it will come so much easier than trying to faculty by yourself. Listen, I would say this. There was a gospel group that came out with a song a couple years ago that I thought was just beautiful. It was called The Shepherd's Point of View, and it talks about how you're going through some type of struggle right now. You're going through a valley and you don't understand what's happening, and then you get up on the mountain and you see things from God's perspective and you realize He was doing the right thing the whole time. Now, I'm not saying God always reveals His entire plan, but I want you to know He encourages us, He demands of us, He commands of us. If we're going to walk with Him, we need to seek His wisdom and His wisdom alone, not experience. Church, when you're facing some decision, when you're in some type of hardship, don't you dare go run into somebody who's an unbeliever. Go run into some psychiatrist throughout the world. Now, there are times when those things can be helpful, but where you need to run in time of trouble, when you need to run, when you have decisions to make, when things are bleak and dark and you don't understand, you need to run to God and Him alone. When was the last time you ran to God? I'm not talking about the last time you passively brushed against Him and you went by Him. I mean the last time you really went to Him and you really sought Him out for His wisdom. So what is wisdom? Then we know that it is the perfect thing, the righteous thing. I think about in Romans chapter 12 and talking about giving our lives as an obedience to God and giving it as a sacrifice before Him. What was the purpose of that? That we might be blessed beyond compare? That we might have everything we ever wanted? No, that's not what the Bible says. The Scripture says, when talking about obedience to God and giving sacrifice and living in a way that's pleasing to Him, why would we want to do that? So that we might prove that which is the perfect and acceptable will of God. I don't know about you, but I don't like being wrong. I didn't expect to get a lot of amens. That's okay. Because not a lot of people like to be wrong.
It's hard to be told that you've messed up. It hurts a little bit to feel shame for making a bad decision when you know it's affected other people. That's a little bit hard pill to swallow sometimes. But listen, I want you to know that even though it hurts sometimes, I don't want to be wrong. And the only way that I can keep myself from making errors in every aspect of my life is to find and seek wisdom from God. Well, then, what do we know? That it's valuable? We know what it is. But where can we find it? Where can we find wisdom? How many times you hear people come into church, Lord, give me wisdom. Lord, give me your wisdom. Lord, I'm ready to receive your wisdom. Give me understanding. Give me the answers. Help me to know the way. Well, the scripture says here in this first portion, go back into your Bibles if you haven't closed them already. Verse 1, he says, doth not wisdom cry in understanding, put forth her voice? She standeth in the top of the high places by the way in the places of the pass. She crieth at the gates, and she enter in at the entering in of the cities and the coming of the doors. Unto you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of men. Well, I tell you what. The Bible has just told us that we should desire wisdom, that it's the most precious thing. Not only should we desire it, guess who desires to give it to us? None other than God Himself. The scripture tells us so many portions throughout the entirety of the book that it says, even I remember the Apostle Paul saying, I would not have you ignorant therefore, brethren, about the mercies of God. I don't think that God has ever made it His desire for us to be in the dark on things, for us to not understand. There are times when we're just incapable of it, but He wants to give us wisdom. He wants to show us understanding. If you don't believe me, go read the book of James, chapter 1 and verse 5. What does He say there? Somebody want to look it up? You can make sure I don't get it wrong. If any of you lack wisdom, let him come to God and ask, who giveth liberally to all men and upbraideth not, and he will giveth him. If any man lacks wisdom, let him go to God and ask for it. Did you know that you could ask for wisdom? That it's not something that gets imputed to you by some weird supernatural existence. It's just you have to go to God and ask Him earnestly and honestly for Him to open your eyes, to give you understanding, and to clear your mind of all the cobwebs. Maybe I'm the only one that ever feels that way. Church, do you ever feel that way in your life? You ever feel like it's foggy? You know, like it's 7:30, 8 o'clock in the morning, and you haven't had your first cup of coffee? You know, you're just not functioning on all cylinders. You know, things just aren't exactly right. I'm afraid oftentimes that nobody here wants to admit it, but in our relationship with God, oftentimes things are a little bit fuzzy. Things are not always so clear. I try to pray, but I feel like I don't get anywhere. I try to worship, but I'm not sure I know how. I try to find the answer, but it seems like I can't hear Him. If you want to get rid of those cobwebs, go to God and ask until you find it. The scripture tells us He is a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. You want to tell lost people to seek until they find what they're looking for? Church, seek until you find what you're looking for. Seek until you find wisdom from God. Until you find the perfect. Until you find the righteous. Until you find the right answer and clarity with Him. Scripture tells us here that God has desire to pour it out upon us, and He calls to all people. You find there in that first portion, He's in the high places and He's in the low places. He's in the inner courts and He's in the outer innerings. What does that mean? Is that God is the same to all of His people. He's not just holding up His wisdom for the pastor, for the preachers, and for the deacons. He's going to everyone, trying to give wisdom to them of any that will receive it. Brothers and sisters, I want you to know that I don't care if you don't serve in any capacity in this church. I don't care if you don't have a job in your mind to do. God wants to have a close walk with you. And even the little minute portions of your life, He wants, demands, and deserves control over those things. The decisions you make, where you live, where you go to school, what kind of job you're going to have, who you're going to marry, if and when you should have children. All of those things God is concerned with. And He deserves and desires and demands dominion over those things. How can I know? Well, He's trying to speak out to us. He says there in verse 5, He says, O ye simple, understand wisdom, and ye fools, be you of an understanding heart. I love in the beginning portion of verse 6 what He says. He says, hear, for I will speak. You want to know where wisdom comes from? Wisdom only has one origin. Does anybody know where it is? The mouth of God. If you want to know where wisdom comes from, you need to get your mind and your eyes focused upon the mouth of God. The scripture talks about in the New Testament in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4, when Jesus Christ was out being tempted of the devil in the wilderness for those 40 days, and how that the devil came to him knowing that he hungered and thirsted, and he said, if you truly are the Son of God, why don't you just make these stones turn into bread, and then you won't be hungry anymore, and everybody else will know that you're the Son of God. He said, I want you to know that I can't be tempted as this, and I'm paraphrasing, but he says, man should not live by bread alone, but out of every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God. How do you live? How should you live? How do you find wisdom? Out of every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So where do you find wisdom? Well, wisdom here of herself is saying, open up your ears and hear, and you'll find it. How is that so? How is it that God is just speaking to us? How is it that we know that God is communicating with us? Well, it's in one of two ways. Brothers and sisters, I want you to know that this book that many of us hold in our hands and the applications that you have on your phone, this is the inspired, God-breathed words of God. They're infallible, they're immutable, they're incomparable, they're without imperfections. This is the perfect words of God. If you want to have wisdom from God, you might start by opening up His Word and listening to what He has to say to you through it. How often times have we spent our lives wondering what the right answer is, wondering what the proper discourse is, wanting to know the answers, and God has recorded them for us. And yet we're ignorant to that, and not even of that, of your own effect by studying in your own free time. I don't know that anybody still does that anymore, but I want you to know it's a commandment of God that you should open up that Word daily and seek out the Word of God. I know not a lot of amens this morning. I get it. It's stepping on my toes too. But guess what? Even if you don't open your Bible at home, did you know that wisdom is still calling out to you through His Word? How? Exhibit A, the preaching of God's Word is Him speaking and trying to show wisdom to your heart. How many times you come into the house of God and you want to be entertained? You're looking for a joke. You're looking for an anecdote. You're looking for something to pump you up. Ooh, I just love going to church. Our preacher, he's funny. He's exciting. You know what? If I'm not funny and I'm not exciting, and if I am, it doesn't really matter. The matter is what the message of God is. The Word of God and the wisdom that comes through His Word. I feel very much ashamed of any minister that would get up behind this sacred desk and try to say that they've preached when they don't even use the Word of God. What are you preaching then? Trust and obey and listen to the Word of God. Every single time you come into church and the Word of God is taught to you, the Word of God is preached to you, and it's testified and witnessed to your heart, God is using that for your good, for His honor and His glory, and to purpose you that you might have greater wisdom and understand His ways. I think back into my entire life, and I wish, Lord, I wish I could go back when I was a child and really pay attention in church. And people say, geez, preacher, I don't know if a pastor, you should really come out and say that. Listen, when I was a young man, I don't have a lot to tell you. When I was a teenager, I went to church. I tried to be faithful to God, but there was often times I was distracted and preoccupied, and I couldn't tell you a plug nickel's worth of the gospel that was preached to me for a better portion of my life. And unfortunately, if we're honest with ourselves, you might say the same thing. Many of us can't remember the message when we get to lunch on Sunday, much less remember the conglomerate of the truth that's been preached to us over the last 3 or 4 years. Why? Because we're really not listening. You may be here, and you may be looking at me, and you may be nodding in agreement. You may be keeping your kids in check. You may be giving your tithe. You may be coming in on time and wearing a suit and tie. But brothers and sisters, I want you to know, what good is the preaching of God's Word if the people of God aren't going to listen to it? It's fruitless. God has said that His Word would never return to Him void. And I believe that to be true, but it's on a magnitude scale. The God is preaching a lot of truth in our pulpits. He's bringing a lot of good message and wisdom to us, but we're not listening to it. And then we stand around dumbfounded, walking around, stubbing our toes on everything in the dark. Lord, give me wisdom. Show me the way. I wonder how many times he wants to just backhand us on the back of the head. I know for me it has to be on a daily basis. It has to be. Of how many times that God has tried to show me things. He's tried to open my eyes and I'm so dumb about it. I'm telling you what, I'm just so blinded by so many other aspects of my life. I don't even see it. But it's not only through and by the Word of God. He speaks to us still today by His Holy Spirit. Brothers and sisters, if you don't know the joy and the magnitude and the glory that is that we have the Holy Spirit dwelling in us, you need to go back and open your Word of God and ask God to show you. I want you to know there's a reason that Jesus Christ said in His earthly ministry when He was getting ready to go before the cross, Brother Brian and I talked about this just a couple of weeks ago. He said to His disciples, "It's expedient to you that I go away." That word means it's better for you. It's more profitable for you that I go away. Why? Because when Jesus Christ was here in His earthly ministry, although He was here dwelling among men, He was not omnipresent. He was not an indwelling Christ. He was a man that had taken on the form of a human body. He was here and that was great. But He's saying, if I go away, everybody gets it dwelling inside of them. And that's better for you than me just being here, because the Holy Spirit can be all places at all times. It can be all things to all people. Brother Brian, it can give you wisdom. Brother Justin, it can give you wisdom. All the brothers and sisters here today, it can give us all wisdom at the same time and not be overwhelmed or overloaded. And I want to praise God for that. How many times in my life I've seen things that I really need to work for me in my life get overloaded and overwhelmed, and I just become so upset by it. Every time I go to download something at work, it seems like it takes me 6 years to download a PDF file, and I get so frustrated by it. I think to myself, I don't have time for this. Brothers and sisters, I want you to know there's no delay in the wisdom of God when you seek it diligently. You don't have to wait for it to download. He can open up your heart and He can show you things that you never thought you could understand otherwise. So then hear, that He might speak to us. If you want wisdom, you need to know where to find it. Brothers and sisters, every time the doors of this church are open, it'd be good for you to be here. And I don't say that as your pastor because I want you to be here. I talked to my barber yesterday. I know it doesn't look much better, but I got a haircut. And so I went in, and he knows that I'm a pastor. And he said, "Well, how's things at the church?" I said, "Well, they're pretty good." He said, "You know, I need to get back in church." I said, "Yeah, you do." And he said, "Well, you know, we just moved." And he starts going through things, and he goes, "How many times do you hear people make excuses for why they're not at church?" And I said, "Only every time they come. Every time somebody comes into church and they weren't there at the last service, they got some reason." And church, if you don't know this already, you don't owe me an explanation, okay? Because guess what? I'm going to let you in. This news flash, I don't know if anybody knew this or not. When you don't come to church, we still have church. When you don't hear the message, it's still preached. When you don't give praise, the rest of us still are. You're the one that hurts. You're the one that misses out when you refuse to come to God's house. Amen. So you don't owe me an explanation. Don't come into me feeling like you had to plead your case. Brothers and sisters, I don't care if your dog died, if your car ran out of gas. I don't care about any of those things if it's only an excuse. What I want to see is people who really want to come to God's house, want to worship Him in spirit and truth, and want to hear wisdom from His precious Word. You don't owe me an excuse. You don't owe me an explanation. But when the doors are open, it's for your benefit to be here. It's not because I care how many people are here, because we're taking pictures and we're keeping tallies. You know what hurts me the most when people don't come to church? Is that I know that it's only hurting themselves. You know how hard, you know how bad that breaks my heart as a pastor? To see people who used to be closer to God than they are right now. You know how bad I hurt because of that? When I see there was a time in your past where you used to get up and witness and testify about the goodness of God. You used to be on fire for Him. You used to go and do every revival service, every youth meeting. You'd want to go and be in the midst of it. Every time the doors were open, you were here. And now I see it's like you totally are a different person. I know everybody thinks you're hiding it, but you're not. And especially not from God. Now, from me, I have to see these things. It's a cross I bear as being a pastor, because God has made me an overshepherd of your spirituality. And I see those things. And it hurts me. Why? Because you're not here. You don't hear the wisdom of God. Then what oftentimes happens when you start laying out of church? you start to see the ramifications of it. You start to make bad decisions. You start to make bad choices in your life. You go down a bad path, and before you know it, it's been 15 years you haven't come to church. You got kids and aren't coming to church. You're so far and cold away from God, and then you look back and say, what happened? God has a desire to give wisdom to our heart, but we must be willing to hear Him when He speaks. Wisdom calls out for us. God desires nothing more than for us to understand His perfect will. He says, and after that, about the excellency of things that come out of His mouth, the openings of my lips shall be right things from my mouth, shall speak truth and wickedness. It's an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are in righteousness. There is nothing froward or perverse in them. Brothers and sisters, I want you to know, if something is offensive, if something is misunderstood, if something is mishandled, the Word of God can come off in a wrong tone. Brothers, if you're in here today and you're a preacher, God's called you into the ministry, you need to be very conscious and very careful and very prayerful about you handling the Word of God, because it's a precious and a righteous thing. It's not something you should just push around all willy-nilly and you just go find something to preach. Brothers and sisters, we're talking about people's eternity here, weighing in the balance. People are dying and going to hell, and oftentimes we don't even give the time of day to take care of God's Word. So be mindful, be careful, be conscious of the Word of God, because if it's misused, it can be misinterpreted and do more harm than good. But He's saying, when you really hear wisdom from God, when you know it's the truth of God, there's nothing at all that's perverse, nothing froward, or nothing that's impossible for you to come to the understanding of. Anybody ever felt this way before? How many times, and I don't even make it hypothetical, let's talk about me. I'm your pastor. Let's just be honest. How many times have I brought something before you and you left here saying, what in the snot was he talking about? Hopefully, not many. What profit is it if the Word of God is preached and we perceive that wisdom is being given out, if we make it ununderstandable? Brothers and sisters, you need to understand that your job as a listener in the service of God, when the preaching comes on, you need to turn everything else off. Okay? And I'm not talking about phones necessarily. I know people follow along on their phone, and I'm not saying necessarily that's a bad thing. I know you can't turn off your kids, because if you could, I would have mine a time or two. I know you can't do those things. But you can shut out the distractions of your mind with God's help. You can quiet your anxiety. Why do you think we have prayer at the beginning of every service? You think it's just for good cause? Well, let's all gather in and have prayer. What, just for the fun of it? Because we know that wisdom of God is coming through the messenger of the Lord. And you need to clear yourself of whatever stands between you and Him. Come in, give Him worship, lay things down at His feet that hurt you and struggle with you, the things that are beyond your comprehension, then empty yourself that you might be filled with His wisdom, that you might be filled with His Word. You know what? It's really hard to be filled with something if you're already full already. And many of us come into the house of God and we're so tapped out, we don't got any room left. Well, I want to hear wisdom from God, but there's no more room up here. Why? You think that there was any reason that God told us to take the anxieties and the stresses of our mind and lay them at His feet? Yeah, because He knew we couldn't handle them. Because He knew we were unable. And He knew if we kept holding on to them, we wouldn't have room for His wisdom. So how is it? We know what wisdom is. We know how valuable it is. The Bible tells us that we should want it, and it tells us that God wants us to have it. It tells us that if we want to receive it, we need to listen to His Word and His Holy Spirit. I still believe that God speaks to His people today just like He did to Abraham over in the Old Testament when He got him up out of the way that he was and took him into a place that he knew not. God was talking to him, and God can still talk to you today. If you need wisdom from God, if you need a question answered, go to Him and don't act until you get His answer. But how then? There's got to be life application. There has to be a practical way that we can connotate this in our lives. I'll say this, preachers, I'm kind of harping on you this morning. I hope you can take it. Listen, if you come before a church, this church or another, and you go in and tell them something they've done wrong, you better be willing to open up the Word of God and tell them how to make it right. Because it's a foolish and a hurtful thing just to go tell someone how wrong they are without giving them a response of how they can fix it. What good would that be? I've been through in corporate America for about 7-8 years now. I've been through a lot of different types of training as far as efficiency training, Six Sigma, and things like that. And I've always been told, if you've got a problem, don't you dare address it unless you've already found at least one solution. Church, have mercy on me and pray for me if I've ever come and brought the whip before the church without giving them an understanding of how to fix it. Because it's unprofitable for any man of God to only come and reprimand someone without giving them understanding of how to fix it. But how can we know it? How can we open ourselves? How can we empty ourselves so that we might hear the wisdom of God? Well, I'm thankful that you asked. Any of you brothers that are going to sing, you might want to get a song because I'm just about done. All right, one more verse that I want us to focus on and concentrate on this afternoon, and that is verse 10 of that same chapter. He says, "Receive my instruction." Receive my instruction. Brother Tyler said last Sunday night, and Tyler, I apologize. You told me this morning in Sunday school not to preach about you. Well, too bad, so sad. Last Sunday night, Brother Tyler preached here, and he preached about the effort that we give in prayer, about our true, earnest effort that we give, our fervency to the work of the Lord, and more importantly, to prayer. Correct me if I'm wrong at any time. But that was the essence of the message. And he said in one portion of his sermon, which I love and I thought was hilarious at the time, until now that I fall in the same boat, he said, "Oftentimes when I'm preaching, I compare things to sports." He says, "I don't know why, it's just I'm familiar with it." Well, Brother Tyler, you get another sports analogy this morning. The scripture is talking about with wisdom for us that we need to make ready ourselves to receive wisdom from God. Here's what you don't know, and maybe don't know. If any of you out there are not as big of a football fanatic as I am, I'm going to try to bring you in on a little bit of how football works, at least on the offensive side of the ball. If you've ever watched football, the team that has the ball, or the offense, has an imaginary line that they have placed the ball on called the line of scrimmage. And then you have men that stand on that line, the linemen, and behind the middle man in the line of scrimmage, you have the quarterback, which is the man that's going to receive the ball. And he's kind of like the epicenter of the offense. He's going to make decisions about where the ball should go to best advance it so that they might score. When the ball gets into the hand of the quarterback, if it is a passing play, the receivers then are running routes to do what? To receive the ball. Here's what I love about passing and receiving. In order for you to receive a ball, you must be open. How many times have you ever seen somebody think they're open when they're really not? And if you've never played backyard football with some of the people in this church, then you need to know that there's some people in here that think they're open when they're not. You ever seen that, playing a little backyard football? I remember, I'll never forget it, 6 and a half, going on 7 years ago, the day of our wedding, we're playing football out in one of those big fields there at Brown County State Park. And I remember everybody saying, "Listen, if you get hurt on the day of your wedding, your wife is going to kill us. So you just be all-time quarterback. We'll run routes and we'll go around and tackle each other. And that way you can be safe." Okay, fine. I can remember it like it was yesterday, since I'm playing for both teams, so to speak. I remember that one team was behind and we're trying to catch up there and time was running thin. So I'm thinking, okay, we got to come back. We got to score. We got to take back this game. And I remember having the ball and saying, "Hut," and I'm back looking for a receiver. And there was one of my cousins from the state of Tennessee running, and there were three guys on him. And he's saying, "I'm open. I'm open." No, you're not. No, you're not. And then after that play's over, he comes trotting back to the huddle. "You can't see me? You didn't see me? I was wide open. I was wide open, and you refused to throw me the ball." Think about it in a spiritual sense. How many times you're just running your route, and you say, "I'm open. God, why aren't you giving me wisdom? Why aren't you letting me receive that passive wisdom? I'm open." You may not be as open as you think you are. You ever been running a route? You got a linebacker underneath, you got a cornerback on your hip pocket, you got a safety over the top, and you're saying, "I'm open." You're nowhere close to being open. You're triple covered. That's the opposite of being open. Who is it that tries to keep you from being open in football? The defense. That's their job. Guess what? In your life, in your walk with God, when you're trying to receive the pass of wisdom, there's defense. And his name is Satan. And he works against you to keep you where you can't be open. He tries to cause interference between you and your quarterback. He tries to get in your face. He tries to knock you off your route. He'll try to be behind you and in front of you. He'll scream at you and make noises. Why? So that you won't be as open as you need to be. I'll say this, I promise, I'm just about done. Last night I was watching a football game. No great surprise, it's Saturday in the fall. Football's on TV. For those of you who don't know anything about college football, Alabama is the number one team in the nation, and they have been since Jesus walked the earth. They're playing in College Station against Texas A&M, and it's late in the game. Texas A&M is behind. They're playing and trying to catch back up in the fourth quarter. And what happens? Thank goodness they have a mobile quarterback, because he gets flushed, pushed out of the pocket, and he's running around the outside of the end, and he's looking for somebody, and he starts pointing. Most people, when you see a quarterback rush out of the pocket and he's on the run trying to throw and he's pointing, people are thinking, oh, like he's looking for somebody to block for him. I don't know if it's on YouTube. Go back and look at it. This freshman quarterback, if you go back and slow it down, his mouth is saying to his receiver, get open. Get open! You're just standing there. You're covered up by the defense, and you think that you're open, but I can't throw it to you right now because you're not as open as you think you are. Get separation between you and the defense. Church, you're not as open as you think you are. You may want that pass. You may want that reception, but you're covered up by the defense. Get separation between the two of you and get open so that he might throw you the pass of wisdom. Brothers and sisters, I want you to know, what does it mean to get open? Just like it does in football, get as far as you can from the defense. You want wisdom from God? Get away from sin. Get away from Satan. Walk the best you can that sanctified life and purge out the sin that stands between you and God. Because when you're covered up by the defense, you can't receive that pass. Church, we come in here day in and day out. I know there's things facing the church we need wisdom from God for, but we come in covered up by the defense screaming, I'm open, I'm open, and we're not. You want to receive wisdom? You want to know what's right? You want to know God's plan for your life? Do you want the lights turned on so the cobwebs can go away and you can see clearly what God wants for you? Then get open. That's my message today. I hope it's been a help to someone, Brother Devin, Brother Tyler, somebody. Get us a verse of song and a moment of time for these things to sink into our hearts.